1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Before we start the show, I just want to say that I may have to vacate this chair momentarily for some business to take care of. And I'm just being honest with you when I say it's nothing too serious. It's just that I have some intestinal problems that I'm experiencing, and I may, as I say, have to vacate. We will go into some flashbacks or other programming, but please remember we will have a program for you tonight. I ate something for dinner. I don't want to say where I got it. It's just one of the local restaurants. I certainly don't want to mention their name because obviously they're in business and I'm sure it was a mistake. Cheesecake Factory. But I wanted to mention that, you know, just having a little problem here. I'm sure everything's going to be fine. Oh my God. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's funny. It was a salad. Why would that cause a problem? It was a Cobb salad. I'm a big Cobb salad fan. You might even call me a Cobb salad man. I believe that it's a fantastic protein injection. Plus, it has all of your vegetables. It's got your salad. It's got all of your greens. Plus, it has a nice healthy dose of protein, whether it be the egg or ham. And it's the blue cheese dressing, of course, is nice, although it is very fattening. But how can you beat it? It might have been a bad avocado. They do a nice little avocado slice job that they lay on top of the Cobb salad that we have takeout. But whatever it was, within, I'd say, about a half an hour, things started going bad south of the border, man. Just things began to churn and gurgle. And so, I like I said, I may have to just take a brief break. This only happened to me once before when I was in Miami. The day before, I had eaten some paella that my girlfriend and I had made. And I was an idiot. I made it, and I left it out overnight the way, you know how you leave chili out at room temperature? Because chili's fantastic the next day. If you leave it in the pot, on the stove, room temperature, it's just beautiful. And stupid boy here, not remembering, this is seafood. You moron. Seafood goes bad at the drop of a hat. Seafood goes bad at the drop of a, well. And so I didn't remember that, and I ate this, and at 2 o'clock I went on the air in Miami in the afternoon, and I said to my producer at the time, Andy Kalb, I said, I got to go to the bathroom. I can't. He says, what do you want me to do? I said, you put a tape up, something. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to leave. I had to run downstairs because the can at WIOD was downstairs two floors, and sure enough, I was able to take care of business and get back on the air before the news ended. So this is what professionalism is all about, is what I'm trying to say to you young broadcasters. If you've got the squirts, brother, if you can do it and get back on the air before the news ends, you're a pro. You're a pro, and look out, Dan Rather. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Speaking of being thorough professionals, yeah, that's true. Mark Newman just reminded me that some guys just play Stairway to Heaven, but I do a talk show. I can't do that. Back in the day, you could put a long record on. You could put on, for instance, Freebirds. You could put on Stairway to Heaven. You could put on Light My Fire. You could put on a long track. There was a song by the Allman Brothers called In Memory of Elizabeth Reed that was 11 minutes and 35 seconds long. You could put that baby on, go in, smoke a cigarette, read a magazine, read a comic book, come out, everything's a beautiful thing. But not no more, man. I got to put on some of Phil's greatest hits. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of thorough professionalism, did you hear about this radio show in Portland where the two DJs, the morning show up there, two guys by the name of Marconi and Tiny. Why do they call them that? You got to look at these two guys. This is like something out of Berlioz Symphony Fantastique. These two freaks, one of them, with the top of his head narrower than the base of his neck, that's when you know you're dealing with a borderline imbecile anyway. These two guys played the audio of Nick Berg being murdered and played music under it and were laughing and doing shtick. Now, they got canned, which you would expect. If you're dumb enough to do something like that, because when you do that, you're not, you've got no connection to your audience at all. You have absolutely no connection whatsoever to what your audience is feeling or thinking. So they got canned. But when you do something like that, you're hoping that the audience, you find people, will at least find it funny. You know, if you're going to do something outrageous, you're hoping the audience will, you know, find something of humorous value or of interest, or there will be something that will draw them in. But never have I ever heard of anything executed so far removed from anything funny. I mean, I even heard about guys doing jokes about the Challenger after it blew up that got fired, and well, they should have been. But in retrospect, I think of the joke, and it's actually funny. Like, I knew a guy that got canned the day after the Challenger blew up because he said it blew up because they were freebasing Tang. Now, the morning after the Challenger blowing up, doing that joke on the air, bad timing. Bad timing. But 4 years, 5 years, 10 years removed from the event, I can see Newman smiling. He thinks it's funny. I can see Mark and what's your name? Chris and Janice in there smiling. Freebasing Tang. But never will I ever be able to hear a tape of Nick Berg's final moments with music and laughter and think that there's anything funny about it. See, this is what's happening in my business, folks. It's more and more getting invaded by rank amateurs. Now, I say that to say this. In about a week, I will know whether or not we have an animated series on the Fox Television Network. And I have no idea whether we're going to get on the air or not. This is our second year doing a pilot for a major broadcast network. This time out, it is an animated pilot. My own personal opinion is it's funnier than the thing we did for NBC, and it's probably the best possible way for us to do our show for television, animated, because of all the characters that we do. Be that as it may, I don't know whether we'll get on the air or not, and it's always a long shot. The fact is, getting a pilot on the air, as I've always said, is a long shot. However, if the gods smile on us, if the sun rises in the west, shall we say, instead of in the east, and we actually get on the air, it's an opportunity for us to take the kind of humor that we do in our show and bring it to TV, where we can expose a larger audience to the kind of satire that we do, and in the process, removing us further away from this kind of amateurism that has infected the radio business, that you poor people have to suffer through. And it also does a disservice to local hosts, because here's what's happening. There's a lot of syndicated shows going up. My show is syndicated. I'm on about 100 markets around the country. Now, what does that do? Well, that means it takes space away from the possibility of a local guy doing a show. And while it makes me feel bad that cat doesn't have a job, I'm glad that I have one. And on top of that, if I'm taking a gig away from a couple of knuckleheads like this, Marconi and Tiny. Oh, I get it. He's really fat, so they call him Tiny. Then I feel I'm doing a public service. But if we get this animated show on the air, it just gives us a chance to get further away from these hacks and lightweights that we share this business with. I take my audience seriously enough to try to bring to you guys every night something a little bit original. Like tonight, we'll have Paul McNamara on. He's marketing T-shirts that say, "Get ahead, vote for Kerry in 2004," and he's got a picture of Nick Berg. Now, that's absolutely grotesque. But see, we'll make it funny as opposed to Tiny and Martuzzi here, whatever the hell his name is, these two clowns who today are hearing ding ding and they're walking out and saying, "You're in the full service aisle, ma'am. Can I wipe the window?" Paul McNamara on the controversial T-shirts he's created in order to raise money for the Kerry campaign. And also later on tonight, we'll have a roundtable discussion featuring Vernon Dozier and Raj Faneen. Mr. Dozier is an educator here in the United States. Mr. Faneen is a Muslim American and an American businessman. He is a naturalized citizen. They'll be speaking on the topic of why American Muslims seemingly have not spoken out against the appalling actions of some self-proclaimed Muslims in the Middle East. That will be on our program tonight. Also, Bobby Dooley with a little bit of a flashback for you from last night's show. And she was on to say that nobody can handle that Nick Berg video, but except for her and her husband, Steve, they can handle it. All right, my stomach's settled down. I think I'm going to be okay. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. One final little note about our website, www.philhenryshow.com. The souvenir shop has some new items in it that I really need to tell you about, because, first of all, with Father's Day coming up, you need something rather unique to get for dad. What are you going to get him? What are you going to get your dad? Do you know? Well, I'm going to get him a gift certificate to a steakhouse. Well, that's good. That's fine, you know. Or I'm not going to get him a tie or anything. My dad likes to golf. I'll get him some golf tee. That's cool. may I suggest something else? How about the unique 16-can cooler with a built-in AM-FM radio from the Phil Henry Show? That's right. This baby holds 16 12-ounce cans and ice. It's royal blue with a yellow screen print of the Phil Henry Show logo on it, so people will glance at it and go, oh, geez, you listen to him. Can I play with another foursome, please? You know, if he takes out on the golf course or something. It also has a compactable space so that you can kind of, you know, it's a flexible bag. You can save space. It's got little netting on the side where you can keep things if you need suntan lotion, a pack of smokes, whatever. It has an AM-FM radio that is detachable. It has an external adapter input jack. It has PVC lining for easy cleanup. So that if you're putting not just drinks or but food in there, you can clean it out. And it's made out of nylon. It has nylon webbing. It has a nylon carry handle. It has a shoulder strap. It's the perfect thing for the beach, for golfing, for whatever Pops needs to do, okay? That and a lot of new items in the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. You should take advantage of it for Father's Day. And let's see what else. Anybody's birthday, 4th of July, things like that, okay? It's at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What is, who do we have, Margaret?
Yes, Phil, hi, how are you doing?
Good, where are you right now?
You know, Frank and I are just out camping. It's a beautiful night here in California, and so we're up at Lake Kachuma. We're going to do some bass fishing. As you know, Frank is pretty immobile these days. He is confined to a wheelchair and an oxygen tank, but it doesn't keep him from getting out and doing a little bass fishing as long as the boat can accommodate his chair and his tank.
You're bass fishing at Lake Kachuma?
Yes, but the reason why I'm calling is that not too close to the fire frame. Not too close to the fire frame. Not too close to the... Good God!
What's going on?
Well, he's had a little to drink and he rolled close to the fire. Not close. I heard what you said about needing to go to the toilet. Do you need some help, darling? I wanted to call.
What do you mean? I said I ate a bad salad. No, I'm fine.
Do you need to go to the toilet?
No, I do not need to go to the toilet. I said I had a bad salad. Okay?
Do you need to go to the toilet?
What, are you in love with that word? No, I don't need to go to the toilet. I'm okay.
All right, I heard you say that you might have diarrhea. And I wanted to call and help out. Now, if you need to go to the toilet,
what are you, my mother or something? No, I don't need to go, okay? I'm fine.
So it's passed?
Yeah.
The cramping has passed and the gas has passed.
Yes, the cramping and the gas have passed.
All right, because if you have diarrhea...
Will you quit whispering about it? It's fine. I'm all right.
Phil, you know something? I was raised in a different time. And when someone needed to excuse themselves and go to the toilet because they had diarrhea...
Would you talk in a normal tone of voice, please?
Well, look, the reason why I called is I could fill time for you if you're having to go to the toilet.
No, you don't have to fill time.
Because I have... Is Mark Newman there? Is the engineer there? Is the engineer...
Yes, he's right here.
All right, Mark, I had him put in the music. Go ahead and roll that, Mark.
What are you doing?
No, I wanted to just... Phil, if you need to go to the toilet, I can do it.
I don't need it.
No New Year's Day to celebrate.
Turn off the music, please.
No chocolate covered candy hearts to give away.
Get her out of here. I'm camping with Frank. Does that woman really think she can sing? Do you need to go to the toilet because you're having diarrhea? 1-800-449-8686. It's time now for a public service that we often render on our show. It's called How to Read a News Story. Will you turn that off, please? That's not...
Isn't this the news music?
No, that ain't no news music. That's what that lady was singing to. You want to give me news music? Find some news music.
Yes, sir, Miss Henry. Well, I got news music for How to Read a News Story.
I'm into the bit now, but it doesn't make any difference when you get news music now. I could have used it 10 seconds ago, okay? the hell is this?
This is a part-time lover. It's the music.
Get this off, part-time lover. How to read a news story.
Stand by.
I don't want any more music, bud. A Lincoln Park, Michigan mother claimed Friday a driver hurled hot coffee into her car, burning her 9-month-old son in an apparent road rage incident. This is Lincoln Park, Michigan. The lady claims that a driver hurled hot coffee into her car, burning her 9-year-old son. I want to tell you that the news source for this is UPI, fast becoming one of America's most irrelevant news gathering agencies. Mary Ann Mazur said she was in the Walgreens parking lot in Lincoln Park, Michigan, when she honked her horn at a woman who was about to back into her vehicle, according to WDIV-TV Detroit City. She said the woman started swearing, and they exchanged words. Mazur said the woman pulled up next to her car further down the road at an intersection. She said, quote, she rolls down her window, and we roll down ours, and she just slings in an extra-large cup of coffee from her Tim Hortons, which I guess is, what, a coffee shop? It got all over the passenger, my son in the back seat, and me. I was screaming, I have a kid in the car, you burned my son. Mazur's son suffered first-degree burns on his ear, cheek, arms, and hands. The infant was expected to make a full recovery. Trenton police, I guess that's Trenton, Michigan, planned to bring the alleged perpetrator in for questioning next week. Now, there are so many glaring holes in this story. See, first of all, the reporter that wrote this story is banking on what he thinks is going to be our tendency to get absolutely enraged that someone would pour hot coffee on a child. And so, because we're enraged that someone would pour hot coffee on a child, of course, anybody that would do that is deserving of a severe beating. But we don't really know that that's what happened in the entirety of the story, because there are glaring holes in this story. And I bring this story up as an example of, unless you know how to read a news story, stuff's going to get by you, man. A. Number one. Whose side are we hearing here? Well, we're only hearing the side of the woman who had supposedly hot coffee thrown on her and her son. That's number one. But the bigger issue here is, who is the other person? We're assuming it's a woman because this lady, this Mary Ann Mazur, says, quote, she rolls down her window. So I guess it was another female. What's her name? Why don't we know who this person even is? Well, her name hasn't been released because she hasn't been arrested yet. And she hasn't been arrested yet because the police see no reason to arrest her. All they want to do is bring her in for questioning. Now, generally, if there is another passenger in the car, as this lady had in her car, she said, my son and my passenger, there would be a witness to this. And generally, a witness to this event is enough for the police to immediately bring that person in for at least questioning, if not outright arrest, depending upon the evidence that they see. But the cops didn't see any of that. All they know is that this gal probably came to the cops with this story. Huh? Do you see where I'm going? Do you see where I'm going? What's the Phil Hendry read on this story? Well, it's possible that this woman burned that boy herself and has concocted some elaborate story to tell the police so that she doesn't get indicted herself for some child abuse. I'm saying it's possible. I'm not saying that that's what it is. What's the name of the person? Has anybody seen this other person? Does that person even exist? That's how you read a news story. Okay, bud, roll the news music. Get this part-time lover off. Never mind. Run the regular music, Mark. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 888-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, Paul McNamara, an independent businessman and a John Kerry supporter, asks the almost the question that shouldn't be asked. And he will get his just desserts from us tonight when he asks, when's it going to be appropriate for him to market his Nick Berg T-shirts? Also, Raj Fadin and Vernon Dozier on a roundtable. Why do American Muslims seemingly remain silent against all of this crazy stuff in the Middle East? And Vernon may propose a loyalty oath. He may want them to take a loyalty oath. And he also doesn't get the whole Muslim versus Moslem thing. How come it's spelled one way and then another? He's a real idiot. Vernon Dozier, along with an equal idiot, Raj Fadin, coming up tonight on the Phil Henry Show. Can I ask a question at this point? I was going to mention just a little bit more about these Iraq abuse photos, which as each day progresses, this story gets smaller and smaller for obvious reasons. All of the horror stories that have been reported, now I'm not talking about a guy with a bag on his head, I mean like rape and sodomy, still no proof. Still no pictures of that. Very interesting. But I want to ask something because I saw this photograph today on a number of sites of thousands of people marching in Cuba against the United States policies toward Cuba. I don't know, you know, we don't allow people to travel there, and we've instituted some new rules, and we're embargoing them, etc. Now, it may not be right, but there's no denying, and I mean nobody denies, except maybe people that are in complete, I guess the word's denial, that Castro's got guys chained in dungeons, he's had political prisoners in dungeons, and God knows what goes on in those places for 45 years, okay? Let me just put this to you. How come you people up in Canada are allowed to travel to Cuba, and yet every time somebody wants to drop some kind of a crap bomb on America about our abuse of human rights, you guys are standing right in line with everybody else to get your licks in? And yet you guys travel to Cuba and willingly and gleefully stuff money into Castro's pocket. Well, he's been torturing political prisoners down there. People that they don't even, there's no, you know, the term non-person? That's when you're put in prison and then every record of you is just expunged. You don't exist anymore. And you're in a hole someplace forever. Now, how come you guys get away with that? Now, I realize we're tape delayed in Toronto, so I won't get an answer to that question until tomorrow, but I thought I'd give you 24 hours to think about it. So that when I talk tomorrow night, well, I'll be tape delayed tomorrow night so you can answer the next day. I mean, I think it's a perfectly logical question, but other Americans are not allowed to ask that question, huh? Because it's, what is it, not fair? See, what happens is this. When America raises any question in its own defense concerning human rights and the human rights violations of other countries, everybody's standing there with all their ammunition already locked and loaded. Yeah, but you guys did this and you guys did that and you guys did this and you guys did that, and all we did was this and this and this and this. In other words, all you guys did was stick the knife in. I guess we twisted it, huh? So there's a big moral difference between us and you. See, that's the point that the Phil Henry Show has been attempting to make for years. That while the United States got all the headlines when it came to the manipulation of politics around the world, everybody else got in under the radar. Everybody else was doing the same thing. Britain was doing the same thing. France was doing the same thing. Germany was doing the same thing. Canada and their way were doing the same thing. But they got in under the radar because we got all the headlines, meaning we got all the rocks thrown at us. But this is so glaringly obvious, somebody's got to say something about it. This guy, Fidel Castro, you can say the beaches in Cuba are beautiful, and I'm sure that they are. And you know, you may like Cuban cigars. Personally, I think they're too strong. I know that probably makes me some kind of a sissified guy. But, you know, I don't like Cuban cigars. Leaf's a little strong for me. But then I'm not a cigar smoker anyway, so what? I really don't know cigars. I'm not an aficionado. And you may think that Cuba has got some great restaurants and great hotels. But there is no denying the human rights abuses practiced by this guy, Castro, this guy that still walks around in that khaki cap like he's some kind of an archaeologist looking to, you know, what is he doing? And here you can see the slate differentiation, and this is where the dinosaurs died. And he's got the beard that looked good when he was 30, but now he looks like he's homeless. I mean, he's all messed up. But there's no denying what this guy has done to his people. And yet, Canada? I can't think of the other countries. I try to get a list, but I think America's like the only country or one of the few that doesn't allow people to go down there. They all let their people go down there, vacation there, dance the night away, maybe in restaurants and nightclubs that are over dungeons that just below their feet, just below their dancing Canadian feet, are some people chained to walls. But see, if I bring this up, I know what the answer is going to be. Yeah, but America. See, they always come back with yeah, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah. I already heard the yeah, buts. I want the direct answer to that question. How do you guys north of the border, how do you even look at yourselves in the mirror every day with your naive school child recrimination of America and then get on the plane and go down to Cuba and have yourself a big whale of a time dancing the rumba and drinking all them coconut drinks? What's that about? And meanwhile, the United States and her citizens are vilified internationally as the world's greatest terrorist. Well, if we're the world's greatest terrorist, what's that make like Canada and France, number two and three? And is it really all that impressive to be number two or three? So that's just, these are just the questions that I have. Scores of printed posters apparently distributed by the march's organizers. Now, dig this. This was handed out by Castro. Bore swastikas portraying Bush in a Nazi uniform with a mustache similar to Hitler's. It would be funny if it wasn't for the cold reality that many of the world's people are so undereducated that they honestly believe that this is a valid comparison. I mean, we have people that are so pitifully undereducated, they think comparing Bush to Hitler makes a whole lot of sense. Like the kid that called my show last night, trying to even equate the Patriot Act with concentration camps and a state-sponsored genocide against people based upon their race and religion. A state-sponsored genocide. Trying to compare that to the Patriot Act only betrays your own utter unworldliness, your own utter isolation. I mean, people that talk that way got to get out of their mother's basement sooner or later or die there. But there's, and for Castro to do that, this guy's, he's good, though, because Castro recognizes the power of propaganda. And there was a guy by the name of Joseph Goebbels. Remember this, guys. Joseph Goebbels, the propaganda minister for, speaking of the devil, Hitler, said the following, and it has become actually the credo of advertisers all over the world. And it's the following. Tell a big enough lie often enough, and people will accept it as the truth. Tell a big enough lie often enough, and people will accept it as the truth. That is... nothing has been truer down through the years. Just keep repeating the Hitler comparisons to Bush and the Nazi comparisons to America and especially the Nazi comparisons to like Israel, and pretty soon the undereducated of the world, of which there are millions and billions, they'll start believing it. Meanwhile, this guy Castro, who has done nothing but torture and incarcerate people for like 40 years, this guy's walking down a street talking about how repressive America is. And Canadians, our fine-feathered friends north of the border, who I guess decided they wanted to throw in with the Brits, now they got about 30 million folks living up there freezing their ass off, wondering why they ain't down here partying. Those folks go down there to... Where do they go to party? Cuba! And they explain it away this way. America has repressed the Cuban people. Oh, come on, daddy-o. Who's repressing the Cuban people? Go down there. He looks a little bit like Santa Claus in a khaki cap. And besides, man, even if it was like a drag what we're doing to Cuba by embargoing them, we're not the ones throwing political prisoners in jail down there and torturing them by the dozens daily. We're not the ones that have made millions non-persons. We're not the ones that has basically imposed such a Stalinist totalitarianism on his people that were afraid to think, sleep, or crap without having some cop in their house at 3 o'clock in the morning. We didn't do that. Castro did that. But the Canadians, I guess, endorse it because they're down there every freaking summer or winter or whenever they go down there to party. You know, and this is a country where every now and again I got to hear from them because I use the word raghead or wop. Now you tell me just what's up with a bunch of people. How far removed from how life works can not just people, but an entire nation be? An entire nation of hoodwinked schoolchildren who will readily compare America to Hitler and do all those predictable things that Europeans do, because Canadians just want to be Europeans. They have no interest in being North Americans. They just wish their country was over in Europe. That's what they really want. How can they reasonably say these things and not at the same time recognize the hypocrisy of it when they go to Cuba? I'll tell you how. Because they're just children. They're children who are unaware of how the world works. And they're kept like children by their own government. So I'll propose this to you. Second only to Castro is the Parliament of Canada. I'm Phil Collins. I'll be right back. I'm kidding. Well, I'm not kidding about that other stuff I said. Okay. A walk down memory lane is coming up. Do you know how this works? People write in often and they say, Phil, would you play this bit that I heard on your show? It is hysterical. I haven't heard it for a long time. I really love it. Okay. So we had an email from someone who wants to hear the one where Ted Bell, who is sickened by people who are coming to his steakhouse that aren't of a certain social stature, he's going to come on and blame me for it. It's a memory lane coming up next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for a memory lane on the Phil Henry Show. This was sent to us from Terry in Omaha, Nebraska, who asks, Hi, Phil, will you please replay the Ted Bell bit where he is upset with you for bringing in, quote, questionable patrons who hear his advertisements on your radio show. I was laughing so hard I had to pull over. Ted screaming like he saw Frankenstein when a customer came in wearing moccasins was a high point. Thanks, Phil. Here it is. This is Ted Bell from March of this past year, a memory lane. Ted Bell, who's upset with all of these low-rent patrons that I'm bringing to his restaurant.
I would like to know why you feel like we should not bring up issues like this. This is everyday issues. Everybody does not have money. Everybody is not born with money.
What was that? What happened?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Hold on. What? Someone just pulled in a Ford Ranger truck.
What difference does it make what they drive?
I got to take care of this, Phil.
Okay, Crystal, go ahead. Give us your opinion. Ted's taking care of something in the parking lot. And you feel that it's unnecessary?
Yeah, I feel that it's unnecessary that he feels like someone should not pull up in the restaurant in a damn Rolls Royce.
I'm sorry, Phil. A guy pulled up in a Ford Ranger and wanted it valeted, and I was sick all over the front of my suit, so I'm going to have to change my shirt. If you can give me just 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
Can you just, like...
Let me ask you something, Crystal. This is Phil Henry. What do you think about a guy that screams as if he's just seen Frankenstein?
To me, is sickening.
And not only that,
He made the remark that he just threw up all over the front of his shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, is sickening. I guess he thinks that everybody should walk around with thousands of dollars in their pocket. We don't have that. All everybody right. doesn't have it.
Is this Crystal is Ted Bell. Let me ask you a question. If I asked you if you wanted Pellegrino or flat water, what am I talking about?
If I wanted Pellegrino or flat water,
what's the difference between the two? And, Phil, do you have that Jeopardy music that we can...
No, I don't have the Jeopardy music, and I'm not going to make fun of people.
I don't want to make fun of her either.
You don't have to make fun of
me.
I'm just saying, why would I want to go to I understand your point of view, but why would I want to go to someone's restaurant that is going to get on... let's say that I don't have as much money as you, and I want to go out to eat somewhere nice, and let's say my husband takes me.
Wait a minute.
And because...
What happened, Ted?
I'm very sorry.
Ted's got to come back, son.
Tony, is that you?
Yeah.
What happened?
He's sick.
What happened, Tony? A guy was wearing moccasins?
He got sick.
Go turn the radio on.
He puked because a guy walked in wearing leather moccasins. Now, this is the kind of elitism that I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's just...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. He should be happy that someone of our class would want to go eat at
Crystal,
a restaurant.
Crystal, I'm not
like
saying Crystal
and pay that amount of money for those kind of steaks.
Let me ask you this: filet mignon, fish or beef?
Fish.
Say that again, Crystal. Filet mignon, fish or beef?
I guess fish. I don't know.
Oh my God!
Well, now come on, Ted. That's not fair.
Exactly.
Crystal, filet mignon.
No. You're saying
it's
that
a beef
because
cut,
I couldn't answer a question like this. Are you talking about class education?
All right, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he is puking every time something happens.
Why would you even want someone like that advertising on your show? He can't run your show. He can't tell you what to do.
He does. He puts an awful lot of money into our show every year.
All right, Crystal, Merlot, is it wine or is it the name of a magician?
What did he just ask me?
He asked you, Merlot, is that the name of a wine or the name of a famous magician, Merlot?
Wine?
Yeah. You think it's a wine, hun? It's a wine, Ted.
Thank God, because I was running out of shirts.
It is a wine, I know.
Yes, of course it is. And I think you're demeaning this lady, Ted, with these questions.
I'm saying if people can answer a simple question, I will let them into my restaurant. For instance, tonight we're asking...
Why do you have to answer questions?
Because I don't want you sitting there saying, hi, could I have the filet mignon, and is it snapper tonight? God! Rice pilaf, Asian dish, or a dead Vietnamese man?
Okay, that's all. I'm finished, all right? Will you turn the music off, please?
I mean,
Crystal, it's sick, and he puked all over himself because a guy hit,
do you see what I'm saying? Country.
What happened?
Somebody just thought that Peach Cobbler was a gay shoemaker. I'm done.
Well, there you go. Man, that is a classic. That's got to go on one of our best of CDs. That's one of the greatest things that the history of this business. It wasn't all that great. All right, 1-800. That's a memory lane from 2004. This past March, and that was requested by a Terry in Omaha. 1-800-449-8686. Paul McNamara coming up after the news at the top of the hour to talk about. This man wants to market a Nick Berg T-shirt in support of the John Kerry candidacy. Hold on. Yes?
Phil, it's Margaret again. Do you need to go to the toilet?
No, I don't need to go to the toilet. How many times are you going to ask me that?
Just go to the toilet. Go ahead and roll it, Mark. I want to run.
The hell is this?
I'm going to sing a song while you use the toilet because you have the squirts.
I do not!
Just go use the toilet, Phil. Everyone... Join me on this wonderful Bruce Springsteen sing-along. Whee! Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. Oh, I went out for a ride, and I never went back. Oh, like a...
Get it out of here! What is she all of a sudden, man? A member of the freaking Ohio Express? Or is it the Ohio Players? Who are the guys that went... Who are the cats that did that song? I got to be free! Yeah! I think that was the Players. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara is my guest this hour. There's been a great deal of controversy surrounding Mr. McNamara, who's been fundraising for the John Kerry campaign. Now, I understand that you have received some threats.
We have, and Phil, we think it's entirely unjustified. I want to know, and I've been doing a variety of media appearances, and before I go any further, I want you to know that everywhere I go, when I say I'm doing the Phil Hendry Show, they are excited. Everyone's a big fan of yours, Phil, and I have been for a long time.
I appreciate that.
And we enjoy listening to you. I wanted to know, doing a lot of these appearances, when it would be appropriate to market the T-shirt that we have that is based on the very unfortunate circumstances surrounding Nick Berg. Now, if you are, allow me to elaborate on that.
Well, I'm going to let you elaborate on it, but when you bring up the name Nick Berg and you put it in the same sentence with, I'm selling T-shirts... You understand?
Let me tell you what we have in mind, Phil. It is a very serious shirt. It says in black lettering, on a red, white, and blue field, it says, don't lose your head, vote Kerry in 2004.
Right, see, right there, that's a joke. Okay, that is a joke.
No, it is not a joke. It is, I understand, first and foremost, more than anybody else, I lost my son when I was a newly married husband, and we had an infant son who died of... sudden death, sudden infant death syndrome. I know more than anyone what it is to lose a son. So I please understand that there is nothing insensitive intended about this. I am sensitive to the American people.
When you say you have a T-shirt that you're marketing in favor of John Kerry's campaign, and it is based upon the horrible death of Nick Berg, I have to ask myself that I have to tell you it'll never sell. I have to ask myself why you would do this.
This election, Phil, is this fall, and I want to know when you think it would be appropriate. And I want to know from other members of the media when you think it would be appropriate.
It will never be appropriate. It'll never be.
You know the conventions are coming up in August. And there is momentum that needs to be capitalized on. The Republicans are using the World Trade Center photos, Phil. And the World Trade Center tragedy, it can be argued, was caused by 8 years of Democrats. Why can't we as Democrats use the Nick Berg situation, which is something that's been caused by Republicans?
Well, you are now saying that the Democrats caused the World Trade Center.
I'm saying it can be argued. Why then can't Democrats use the Nick Berg photo?
And you will argue that that was caused by Republicans.
Well, here is.
Why don't you find something else to do? I mean, is there something else that you can sell to raise this money?
Well, why don't you find something else to do? You know, it would be the same thing as me asking you that.
What about the family of this young man?
Phil, even Nick Berg's father is blaming George Bush for this, so I am sure he would have no problem with this T-shirt. In fact, I'm hopeful that in the next 24 hours I'll get Michael Berg's backing on this. I read his quotes about Bush being responsible for his kid getting his, you know, getting his head sawed off, so I am sure that...
See, right there, his kid getting his head sawed off. There is no sensitivity in what you are saying. There is no reflection of a man who would understand the bereavement of a family, and certainly the outrage of a nation.
I join the American people in their outrage over what's going on over in Iraq. I'm asking you, and I'm canvassing media, at some time it will be appropriate to market T-shirts capitalizing on what happened to Nick Berg. I'm trying to do it in a tasteful way.
Well, I don't think it's tasteful having a T-shirt that says, "Don't lose your head, vote Kerry in 2004.
Why?
Why? Are you really asking me why?
You are referring to the fact that this young man met his end through decapitation, but I want to know why you think that shirt is distasteful.
Because it plays off of, it reflects and plays off of that event. And in the end is going to be seen by the American people as, I just think it's going to be seen by the American people as something that is distasteful.
Well, the Iraq war is distasteful.
Oh, come on, Paul. The Iraq war may be distasteful and maybe not distasteful. There's no reason, in my opinion, to use this poor kid. How do you think the Kerry campaign's going to feel about this?
Well, I think it's going to help John Kerry take back the White House for the American people. I mean, it'll be supported by the campaign. Politics is hardball. And the gloves are coming off in this campaign. And even if John Kerry has the lie to the American people again in the White House, I think he should. He is the candidate that we need.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I thought I'd seen it all. I thought I'd heard it all. I thought I'd seen every kind of T-shirt, every kind of hat, every kind of everything. But to market a T-shirt based upon this young man's death, don't lose your head. We're talking with Mr. Paul McNamara. He's an entrepreneur. He's fundraising for the John Kerry campaign. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. McNamara, I'm a registered Democrat. I'm not going to vote for John Kerry for a number of reasons, but I'm a registered Democrat. And were I to vote for John Kerry, if I saw a T-shirt like that, I would find it so distasteful it would prompt me not to want to vote for him.
Can I ask you again, Phil, because I brought it up. The World Trade Center photographs were used by the Republicans to emphasize President Bush's response to a problem that the Democrats started. The Don't Lose Your Head T-shirt is a T-shirt that Democrats can use to emphasize what we want to do about a problem the Republicans started.
By voting for John Kerry, we're going to do what?
We're going to settle this matter in Iraq in a way that is more international, that is multilateral. We're going to stop using troops in a unilateral effort that is only getting them killed. And we're going to use this young man's very unfortunate demise, and nobody is more sorry about it than me, to advertise that.
But why couldn't you just have a picture of Nicholas Berg and a nice picture, you know, that says just, you know, remember Nick Berg, vote for John Kerry?
People wouldn't know what you were talking about. They wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah, what do you mean they wouldn't know who he was?
If I just had a T-shirt that said, remember Nick Berg, vote for John Kerry, they'd say, well, I don't know who Nick Berg is. You have to reference the fact that somebody sawed his head off. You have to...
Why do you keep saying sawed his head off?
I'm missing your point.
Why do you have to keep saying sawed his head off? Why can't you just say...
Well, the people in Al-Qaeda that, you know, sawed his head off... How do you want me to say it?
How about the people in Al-Qaeda that mutilated him, that murdered him, that decapitated him?
That is fine, sir.
So therefore, what? If you put a T-shirt out that says, "Vote for remember Nick Berg, vote for John Kerry," it isn't going to sell because people won't know what you're talking about.
People are not going to know unless you reference who is Nick Berg. I can tell you right now, you could say Nick Berg, you could say Mo Berg. He was a catcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You could say Peter Berg. I think he's a filmmaker. So you say Nick Berg, you might think that they're talking about a ball player or something like that. But if you say, don't lose your head, then they'll say, oh, yeah, okay. He's the one that got, I don't even know the word that you used.
Decapitated.
He's the one that got decapitated. So you have to reference that. In so doing, you begin to draw people into your message. And the message is vote for Kerry.
A few weeks ago, I said on this show, I didn't want to see pictures of our soldiers coming home in their boxes because it was used by certain people who are against the war to say, look at the futility of these men's death. And if those men could speak for themselves, they might disagree with that. If Nicholas Berg could speak for himself, I'm sure he would say, don't you dare put my face or any reference to me on a John Kerry T-shirt. He was a Bush supporter. He went over to... Iraq to help support the aims of the Bush administration in helping to rebuild that country. What do you say to that?
What I say to that, Phil, is very simply this. Nick Berg went over to Iraq, a supporter for George Bush. I think he came home a supporter for John Kerry. And
he came home dead, sir.
That is absolutely true. But were he alive, had he been decapitated, but if he was still alive for whatever reason... He would be.
How can you be decapitated and still alive for whatever reason?
The point I am trying to make, if you let me answer the question, if he was still alive, but he...
If he was still alive, but he had his head cut off.
No, sir. He would be a John Kerry supporter if, in another universe, you could have your head sawed off and still live. That's all I'm saying.
All right, well, we don't live in another universe. We live in this universe. What about in this universe? What would Nick Berg be in this universe?
I think he'd be a John Kerry supporter.
But he'd be dead, so how do you know?
If he wasn't dead.
Okay, so if he went over to Iraq, didn't get attacked by Muslims, and came home, he'd be a John Kerry supporter.
I believe so.
Why?
Because I believe he would realize maybe it was a close call. Maybe he would have a dream. I'm going to get my head cut off, and I got to get out of here. I just think... You can't speak for him any more than I can.
Well, then you can't speak for him either.
But I think I'm in a better place to speak for him than you are. Because his father is against George Bush.
Well, that isn't Nick Berg. That's his father, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Suppose in another universe you could get your head cut off and still live, he'd be a Kerry supporter. 1-800-449-8686. We're speaking with Paul McNamara, selling T-shirts that say, don't lose your head, vote Kerry, 2004. I believe it to be one of the most egregious examples of marketing that I have ever heard of, seen, anything. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making hot brownies. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. McNamara, I want to ask you. I don't want to ask you. I'm going to give you an opinion. We'll go right to our phone calls. All right, sir?
That is fine.
I'm going to tell you that marketing a T-shirt that says "Don't lose your head, vote Kerry 2004," playing off of the horrible death of Nick Berg, is going to backfire like you wouldn't believe. I think you're going to have people driven from voting for John Kerry like you wouldn't believe.
And I could understand how you would say that, Phil, but I want you to know something about Paul McNamara. I have been a gambler my whole life. I am a gambler. I take chances in business. I think it's one of the reasons why I'm so driven. I just have a sense that people are going to find the irony in this shirt. And
By the way, where are you right now?
I'm over here at Temple City Billiards. I'm just enjoying having a beer and playing a game of pool.
You're playing pool tonight?
Yes, sir, I am, yeah.
You like playing pool?
I enjoy it immensely, yes.
All right, so in any event, you are having... I just think it's going to backfire.
You could think it's going to backfire. A lot of people could think it's going to backfire, but it's one of the reasons why I take chances in my business. And
are you a successful businessman, would you say?
I'm not yet successful, but I'm going to be successful because I take chances. I'm a man of...
Well, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Excuse me?
How old are you?
I'm 54.
And you're not yet successful in business?
I am a... Phil, it's only a matter of time before a lot of the ideas that I have put out there into the marketplace are implemented and will eventually... I hold a patent on some 343... different inventions and devices. I am what you call someone who thinks outside of the box. So I'm betting that people are going to embrace this T-shirt. They're going to find the humor in it.
Oh my God! You know, I got to tell you something, Paul. There's no humor in this, man. I do humor for a living. I'm telling you.
Well, forgive me, but I don't. What you're doing right now is not humor. You're doing an interview, right?
Well, what I'm doing right now is an interview. Yes, but I do humor.
Well, you're going to have to. When you do something funny, point it out to me, because...
Look, what I'm trying to tell you is I think it'll backfire. Let me go to a phone call. 1-800-449-8686. Patsy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Paul McNamara. He's selling T-shirts that say... What does it say, Paul?
It says, get ahead. Don't lose your head. Vote Kerry 2004.
Go ahead. Is it Patsy?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, Paul.
Hello.
Are you drunk now? You said you were drinking beer and shooting pool.
I'm having a beer.
Okay, you're not drunk. Were you drunk when you thought about this idea?
Patsy, I can respond to that question by saying what I said to Phil. I'm a gambler. I take chances in my business. And I think by the end of this summer, you are going to enjoy wearing a John Kerry T-shirt that says "Get Angry."
You have got to be joking.
I think
this
now you're
big.
Angry. I understand that you're angry now.
I am angry.
I think by the end of the summer, you're going to have fun with it.
This is ridiculous. I have three sons. There's no way that I would have this.
No, right now you wouldn't.
Listen,
but by the end of the summer, you and your girlfriends will be wearing them out to the mall.
Oh, man, you've got to be joking.
Are you a John Kerry supporter, ma'am?
I was until I heard this.
Oh, well, see, that's,
I'm saying. People are going to not vote for him because of this T-shirt, Mr. McNamara. I think you're driving voters away.
That is the initial response. But remember, I'm a gambler, and I'm gambling that Patsy, after she loses her initial shot, her and her girlfriends are going to have these shirts on. They're going to be having a ball at the pool or wherever they go with the kids. And they're going to be all gung-fired, ready to vote for John Kerry.
Oh, God. That's ridiculous.
Don't lose your head. Vote Kerry 2004.
Terrible.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm going to make a special version of this shirt for the ladies. Maybe a tee.
A little sexy tee?
In pink or something like that. I don't know.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Maureen. Hi, Maureen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Paul McNamara.
Mr. McNamara, I'm calling you from Georgia, and I'm a New Yorker that's lived down here for 3 years, and I just want to say to you, this is a sick, sick and unacceptable ploy that you're using to get John Kerry, God help us, John Kerry put into the White House. It's sick, and it's demented, and it's wrong.
Well, let me ask
it's
you,
bad, doesn't, no, it's wrong. It's really wrong.
Why do you feel it's wrong?
Because it's sad the man was decapitated by those people over there. Everybody complains about President Bush going to Iraq and doing this. He used the World Trade Center because when that first happened, everyone was out there with the American flags. Oh, gung-ho, go over there and kick some butt. And then when he did it, when he found out the right people to go after and the right time to do it, oh, you can't do that anymore. The Hollywood community is against him. Everybody together.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Maria. I feel that John Kerry is a better man to serve our country because he's going to get us out of Iraq, and we're going to get back here and get some and have airlines and open more amusement parks and the things that are important to the American people.
And Mr. McNamara, let me tell you something. And then he's going to pull them out, and the war will come here.
And Nick Berg's purpose was, look, at what would Nick Berg say now if he were alive? He'd say, vote John Kerry.
He'd say, vote George Bush.
How could he possibly want to vote for George Bush when first of all, he couldn't vote for George Bush because he's dead. Okay.
Well, this is what was being brought to you before. His head's cut off and you're trying to speak for a man, he's dead.
Yeah, how do you speak for a man that's dead?
He would vote for George Bush, too.
John Kerry gets...
It happened. But it's wrong that you're using this as
I don't think you'll see any more beheadings once John Kerry gets in. I think John Kerry will make it illegal.
I will see more 9/11s in this country if John Kerry gets in.
I want to pay you a compliment. 9/11. I want to pay you a compliment, though. You sound like Dr. Melfi on The Sopranos. You've got that same tough, intelligent voice.
I'm an Italian-Irish woman that's living in Georgia from New York.
The very best of women are Italian and Irish. Well, let me say this to you, Maureen. I'd love to send you a free ladies' tea. That says,
I don't want it.
Go to the head of the class.
She doesn't want it, and I don't want you pitching it on my show.
I think there's a little jealousy on the part of Mr. Henry because I'm talking to a lovely lady from New York City. And
no, sir, I have a wife and children, all right? I'm trying to tell you I don't want you pitching any... What do you mean, go to the head of the class, vote for Kerry?
Maureen, I know you're upset now, but I'd like to take you out for a steak dinner later on in the summer and present you with our first
really
lady's tea.
All right, Maureen, thank you very much. Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Paul McNamara on a series of new John Kerry T-shirts based upon the Nick Berg tragedy. Don't lose your head. Vote for Kerry. Is that correct?
That is the regular one. The ladies' tee will say, go to the head of the class.
All based on the horror of this young man's death.
You know, Phil, it's one thing, I guess you could say, to vilify a businessman like myself who has a very unusual idea. I think it's another thing entirely, though, to pretend you have this outrage when, in point of fact, you wish that you had had this idea.
And are you telling me that I'm outraged because I'm jealous of you?
I think there's a little bit of jealousy. I think there's a lot of jealousy on the part of your listeners, especially a lot of the men that are calling. A lot of them probably failed businessmen who would be much more successful had they an original idea. I've got an original idea, and I think you've got a lot of these guys out there that are upset.
I can assure you that's not the case.
Are you speaking for them? You accuse me of speaking for Nick Berg.
No, I won't speak for them, but I got a feeling that the guys that are listening right now are not failed businessmen. They're hearing a lousy business idea. What is this, heads up, it's Kerry time?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Paul McNamara, you say you're fundraising for John Kerry by selling these shirts that say, heads up, vote for Kerry. And you got a picture there of Nick Berg sitting in front of those militants. You say that this is a shirt that people, after they get over the initial shock, are going to want to buy.
Phil, look, I was at the...
I think you're wrong.
I was at the Laker game the other night, and you know how many people had Kobe Bryant jerseys on? Thousands and thousands. And that's a man who is allegedly a rapist. And now I propose, why wouldn't people want to buy a shirt with a hero like Nick Berg on it? A hero trying to get another hero voted in as president.
Well, you're not just putting a picture of Nick Berg on a shirt. And even if you were just putting a picture of Nick Berg on a shirt. Look, Kobe Bryant, for whatever reason, is popular because people like his basketball playing. Maybe they're not even taking into consideration the crimes that he's committed. But to have this glib comment, heads up, and now I see you've got a one in Spanish, don't lose your cabeza.
It is a bilingual shirt, yeah.
Well, that's not bilingual, don't lose your cabeza.
Well, cabeza in Spanish.
I know that cabeza is head in Spanish, but don't lose ain't Spanish.
I don't understand your comment. Cabeza is Spanish.
Yeah, but don't lose your cabeza. That's like English with Spanish.
I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say Spanish. but I know that Cabeza is.
You don't know how to say Spanish. You just know that Cabeza is.
This is getting us off the point, and the point is...
Well, I think the point is very clear. I think what you're doing is an insensitive thing.
Well, the point, Phil, the point is I'm a gambler by nature.
You've been telling me about your gambling nature as a businessman.
I am a gambler by nature, and the fact that this is a great idea is not approved of by your listeners because they're jealous of the fact that I've got a great business idea and the rest of them are still out there sitting in their garages, sketching on pads, trying to come up with some idea, and they're never going to come up with, maybe they'll come up with an idea, but I think it is naturally angering and frustrating and makes people green with envy when they hear a guy who's got an original idea, who's going to make himself a lot of money, and they're still sitting out in the garage, and their wife is calling them in for dinner, and it's just a minute, and they're sketching out some idea for how to put your jock strap on better or something. It's sad. It's sad. I feel good tonight. I feel great tonight, and I don't feel I'm manipulating anybody.
All right, well, then I don't have anything more to say to you. I'll turn it over to my callers. Edie, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Paul McNamara.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Is he for real? My 9-year-old has more sense than to do something like this. If I was voting for Kerry, I would have immediately changed my mind. This is
now
so
you would.
Cruel.
But later on in the summer, you'll be wearing it at your kids' birthday parties. I can guarantee that. See,
you have lost your mind. I would never have anything on my body that said for Kerry, number one, and number two, that referred to this young man that lost his head.
Don't lose your head. Right. Meaning, maybe you don't know what the shirt means. What it means, Edie, is don't lose your head the way Nick Berg did. Vote for Kerry instead. See, he lost his head because he voted for Bush.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, Mr. Henry, you're faux outrage.
It's not faux. He lost his head because he voted for Bush? Are you serious?
Are you not part of the Kerry campaign, or are you just somebody that decided they wanted to do this?
Ma'am, I am...
Yeah, that's a good question. Are you affiliated with the Kerry campaign?
I like to think that I am.
John Kerry needs to have his head examined, not
that's
only
a good one.
Number one, running for president, but for number two, employing somebody like you.
You just gave me another idea. Get your head examined. Vote for Kerry.
Yeah, vote for Kerry if you want to be an idiot.
No.
I can't believe somebody would want to.
Can I tell you how this ties in? You know that John Kerry is a big champion of the Head Start program. You know that.
Well, I'm very glad for him. My children can't get into Head Start because I don't use government programs. I'm an independent person.
Well, maybe you should start.
What do you mean, maybe she should start?
I do not have to use government programs.
Look,
start going where kids are. Okay? I have 3 children, and you putting this man's son on a show saying don't lose your head is absolutely and completely ridiculous.
Well, we can certainly modify the... If you're talking about modifying the message, we can do that.
I don't think anybody wants anything to do with any shirt that references head, anything, Nick Berg, anything, on any T-shirt having to do with Kerry or Bush.
Boy, I'm glad you really speak for your listeners, Phil. I thought this was a free country. I can tell you, you say you have a 9-year-old, Edie. The shirt we have for the kids is simply, I got a head start with Kerry.
My son would never be anywhere near that. My son is going to private school.
I would like to see your kid speak for himself and not have his hippie mother, talking at...
His hippie mother?
Excuse me? You don't know me, mister.
Are you some kind of a hippie? I mean, your son obviously knows what he's doing, but you're raving all over the place here. Look, at the Democrats' convention, we're changing all the signs of the bathrooms to say the head. Hello?
Yeah, well, this is her husband now. You wanted a man point of view?
Oh, you're the husband?
I'm the husband, and I think you're insane.
Well, what you need to do is get some control of your wife, sir.
I have complete control. And you say you're a gambler?
I do. I'm a gambling businessman.
I know when somebody's getting ready to shoot craps, and that's exactly what you're getting ready to do.
Sir, I am a gambler. There's no doubt about it. And in gambling, you win or you lose. But when you win big. If you lose, you lose big. But I can tell you, it's my idea. I don't want you thinking you can go out and start making T-shirts with head jokes on them.
I wouldn't invest a lot of money into it.
Well, that's your opinion, sir.
54 years old and you're not a successful businessman yet?
Well, that's the point, yeah. 54?
He's successful.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, how old are you?
I'm 51.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a success, but for God's sake, I'm not living hand to mouth.
No, you're living off of Kerry and the freaking government.
Hey, see, you said you had control over your wife, sir, and there she is just screaming in the background.
I have complete control. She's irate over this.
Listeners. Would you mind telling her to shut up?
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Sir, I may have to... I said to the lady, shut up. See, I'm telling your wife to shut up, and you're not doing anything about it.
Look, would you just have some respect?
That's all I'm asking for, respect.
I may have to hang up on you soon, because I'm going to a Hedy Lamarr film festival. And
all right, thank you very much, Edie, and your husband,
I don't know, what is his name, Sally?
Well, that wasn't necessary.
No, but it was needed because there was a lot of dead air.
All right, 1-800-449-86, it wasn't necessary, but it was needed. Rachel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, hello?
That woman was a head case.
Ha, ha, ha. Rachel?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, ma'am, you're on the air.
This guy is crazy. To sit here and say that Nick Berg would vote for Kerry just because his father is a Kerry supporter.
Yeah, Nick Berg was a Bush supporter, Mr. McNamara.
Okay, I grew up my entire life as a diehard Democrat. My father served in the legislature as a Democrat my entire life. He is a big Kerry supporter because he's a big Democrat. I'm telling you now, you can call it whatever you want to call it. You can say I've been, you know, changed over, Hannitized, Henryized, you know, Clark Howardized. It makes no difference. I am supporting my president. George Bush and what he's doing. And for you to sit here, and for you to sit here and say this guy would come back, and if he had the opportunity to vote this fall, and to sit here and say that he would vote for Kerry, just because his father is a Kerry supporter, I'm here to tell you you're wrong.
Well, the kid didn't vote for Kerry, Mr. McNamara. The lady's right, because he didn't vote. He was a Bush supporter. He and his father were at odds politically.
Well, he and his father were at odds, Phil. But I think after getting his head cut off, he would then change his mind.
I think if you're a gambler, then maybe you ought to take the $20 that's just about all it sounds like you've got to invest in this deal and take it down to Vegas. Take it to Biloxi or someplace, put it in a freaking machine and pull the arm, because I think that's about all you're talented enough to do.
Ma'am, you know something, I understand you're angry, but I'm a gambler in business.
Yeah, well, you know what the lady just said?
Well, take $20 and gamble somewhere else.
How much are you investing into this idea?
How much am I investing?
How much are you putting into this idea of don't lose your head, vote for Kerry?
I borrowed some money from my sister. I've got What are you laughing at, ma'am? I don't understand.
Okay, you're borrowing money from people. Does John Kerry even know that you're doing this?
I like to think that he does.
Think that he does. Have you ever met this man?
Nick Berg?
No, I'm talking about John Kerry. Do you know him?
You know what? In a lot of ways, I do know John Kerry. Yes, I do.
But have you ever met him? Have you shook his hand?
You know what? I'll tell you this much. I have shaken his hand in my mind many times because I admire him immensely.
No, answer the lady's question. Have you ever met him?
You've never met him. He has no idea that you're doing something like this that is going to ruin him politically.
I like to think, ma'am, I don't think you're qualified to say that. I'm a gambler. This is a $1 million idea.
You borrowed $300.
As a citizen of the United States, I have the right to be able to say that. So I know that I'm qualified to say that.
Well, you have the right to say it. That's true. But whether you're qualified to say it is another thing entirely. Now, I borrowed $300 from my sister. I got another $200 in savings. I rented a silk screening machine from a friend of mine, and we are going. This is a $1 million idea. And
you rented a silk screening machine from a friend of yours, and you've borrowed $200 from her husband, so you got $500.
That's all you need.
That's a lousy investment for your sister.
Ma'am, you see one of my T-shirts, and you'll be wearing it down to that Thursday night wet T-shirt contest. So
I seriously doubt that.
I think so.
I seriously doubt that.
Can I ask you something, Rachel? What are they giving away as first prize now? Those a slab of bacon?
You know something, Mr.
I don't know, because I don't hang out in the pool halls with you.
Yeah, you're the guy that's in the pool hall. And I'll tell you something else, Paul. This T-shirt idea is going to blow up in your face.
Yeah, it'll blow up in my face in 20s.
All right. Rachel, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Phil. Bye-bye.
Rachel, you sound like you really like the Pall Malls, by the way.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Rachel, you sound like you spoke.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Rachel?
Just get rid of the lady. Mr. McNamara, you borrowing $200 from your sister, $300 from her husband, and you got a friend who's lending you a silkscreen machine? You're 54 years old. You're not a success yet, but you're a gambler. Do you live in your car?
I live in my car, but it's a nice car. It's a 5-speed Camaro that I borrowed from my son's girlfriend, who I'm living with, by the way.
Good luck, man.
I'm not the one that needs luck. You. You're the one. I'm a gambler, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you're a gambler. Paul McNamara, what a loser. 1-800-449-8686. Next hour, it's our roundtable with Raj Fanin, a Muslim American, and Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher. They'll be talking about American Muslims. Why are they seemingly silent on the extreme acts of some Muslims in the Middle East? Mr. Fanin is a naturalized American citizen. Both gentlemen are American citizens, and we will talk with them next hour. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby and Steve Dooley on our show last night from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They were very concerned about the Nick Berg video. They don't feel the American people should watch it. In fact, they were advising the American people not to watch it. However, she and Steve were going to watch it because they can handle it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Lady, you've got some nerve calling the rest of the state in America doesn't have a right to see it. You haven't seen it anyway. You are such a hypocrite.
Tell them I want a supporting wall over there and I want the spa over there.
Are you listening to what you're listening to what the lady's saying?
They asked me about where they wanted to put the spa. I'm sorry.
No, look, lady, I'm not trying to bag on you, but everything you're saying is so hypocritical. First you say that the American people don't have the courage to see it, but you do. What makes you so different from the American people? What makes you think that you even know what the American people can handle?
I will tell you what makes
you different. You don't have education, you don't have the studies, you do not know anything about the American people.
Jenny, you don't have the courage, Jenny. You don't.
Don't tell me. Do you know me? Do you know my background? No, you don't. Just like we don't know your husband, Steve, your children's background. You don't know their background, so you can't sit there and on this little pedestal. Oh, me and my husband and my children, we can watch it because we can take it because we have the courage to share, brutality in the face and all this BS crap that you're saying.
Jenny, can I ask you something? Do you support yourself? Do you buy your own clothes, etc.?
Yes, I do. Do you?
Okay, all right. I wanted to ask
you. Hold on.
If you buy all of those clothes,
you are no better than me because
if you value your possessions, you won't want to watch this tape because you'll soil every piece of underwear that you've ever purchased.
Why are you
watching this tape? You have no idea who I am, and you're telling Phil that the people can't take it because
when
he asks you a question, well, how do you know? Like I've been able to take it, and your answer was, oh, well, you're in the media. Well, my boyfriend saw the video, and yes, it was a very disturbing video, but he's not falling apart at the seams, going crazy the way you make it seem like people are going to be.
He is acting courageous for you. I want to answer that question, Phil.
All right, hold on, Jenny.
Her boyfriend watched this video, even though I asked them not to. Jenny, I don't know how well you know the young man, but I would stay away from him for the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know when you watch that video,
because he is liable to have
rape
flashbacks.
What you say has no logic and makes no sense.
The fact that you
can sit there and say,
maybe one day the Wizard of Oz will give you the red badge of courage.
I'm good enough to watch it, but the rest of America isn't good enough to watch it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Let's see off for Iraq and let's see how well you do and how much you can stand it. I don't know what you've seen in your lifetime that makes you think.
I need to say something to her. I really need to say something.
Go ahead.
Jenny, you are very hyper. You watch this video, and you will begin to vomit projectile style. Your nerves can't take it. I can hear you going, you watch this video, and you will have a cardiac arrest.
People about America that you have no right to make.
Bobby, lose your mind.
My husband thinks you'll lose your mind if you watch this thing. Now, whatever you do, don't let your boyfriend in the house. He will
so
cut
you. You are so ignorant. You know, you're
all right. I resent you making this young lady afraid of her boyfriend.
I just don't want this girl put in harm's way by a boyfriend.
If I could be afraid of my boyfriend, then after your husband sees it, you can be afraid of your husband.
No, Steve and I have a very special relationship.
And me and my boyfriend have a special relationship, too. You know, come on.
You share house arrest?
And you and your husband are better than everybody else in America.
Well, no, I didn't say better.
Isn't any more worth anything more than the next person.
I didn't say better. I said stronger. You know, Steve and I were lying in bed the other night, and I turned to him and I said, you know what, Steve? You just grab life by the neck and shake it around. And you know what he said to me? Ditto. We are simpatico.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bobby Dooley, our favorite suburban Nazi whore. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Vatican warns Catholics against marrying Muslims. Did you hear this? Wow. The Vatican warned Catholic women on Friday to think hard before marrying a Muslim and urged Muslims to show more respect for human rights. Jeez, these guys, you know, the closer he gets to death, the bolder he gets. That Pope John Paul, the 43rd. I don't give a sweet G. You watch out for those ragheads, honey. Your holiness, you can't. Ah, come on. More sherry? Thank you. Don't mind if I do. See, that's what that sacramental wine, you know, the stuff at communion? That stuff's pretty heavy-osity. I used to be like an altar boy, and I don't want to get into it, but me and the Padres shared a pop. All right, anyway, 1-800-44... No, it ain't what you think. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by Raj Faneen from the National Muslim Federation and by Mr. Vernon Dozier, a high school educator. The discussion tonight will center around the question, why are American Muslims seemingly not speaking out against the extremism of so-called Muslim terrorists? And you might note that I use the word so-called because we're sort of in the dark. Whether these people are in point of fact Muslim or whether they are just glorified serial murderers who have some cult-like obsession with Islam but don't really practice it is certainly something to be discussed. I would like to thank both of you gentlemen. Mr. Dozier, how are you this evening?
I'm very fine. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity.
And Mr. Faneen?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, I don't want this to become acrimonious. I certainly want to just start with you, Mr. Faneen, and ask you the question. As an American, you are a naturalized citizen?
Yes, sir. My family arrived in this country in 1990. And I've lived as an American citizen since 1995. And it has been a great pleasure for me to raise two young children as naturally born American citizen. And my wife and I, as I indicated, became citizens of this country in 1995.
And you are, there's no need for me to ask you this question, but you are a proud American?
Very much so, yes.
All right. Why do we not hear more outrage?
Well, I first would reject this idea that there is no statement coming from the American Muslim movement, as you put it, or from the American Muslim community. I think that there is a great deal of comment, but perhaps your question goes more to why there's not more.
I would think there'd be an outpouring.
The answer to this lies in, quite frankly, a fear of retaliation from being directly targeted by terrorists.
If I could interrupt, Mr. Henry, I'd... I want to make a comment.
Well, let me just get the response from Mr. Faneen. So you're saying it could be a fear of retaliation?
Yes, I think it's a fear of the Muslim community in America being targeted by these extremists.
And I would like to interrupt and just say one thing. Americans are dying for a lot of these people, for, you know.
All right, I tell you what. Why don't you get your thoughts together, Mr. Dozier?
I'm having a difficult time listening to this gentleman saying they're a failure. You people are being protected by American soldiers that are dying. They're putting their lives on the line. So why don't you people say something?
A lot of those boys are Muslim soldiers. There are a great many American Muslim soldiers in the United States armed forces.
That's true.
And they...
Well, the soldier that threw the hand grenade at the beginning of the Iraq War was a Muslim. And I want to ask you a question at this time.
That man was crazy, and to say he was Muslim is for conjecture only. I don't know if you can say this.
I want to ask a question at this time. What are you people, Muslim or Muslim? And is that the same as Islam? They don't explain any of it. They don't explain any of it. And you people, you know, a lot of it.
I reject this use of the term "you people." I reject that.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit, Mr. Dozier, like a sort of one of those classic profiling statements.
No, but the answer, I haven't got an answer. We have in America one of these Freemason situations. You know, are these people Freemasons? Are they a cult? Because he says, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Muslim, and is that the same as Islam? I'm just asking for
A Muslim is a more traditional reference to a person who practices Islam from the old world. And that is from...
From the Middle East?
From the Middle East. Muslim is more of an Americanized term. And it means that... But no, we are not Freemasons. And this is a question that I think does not go to the point.
You understand that Al-Qaeda, they're Muslims, okay? And I read an article here the other day.
But you have to understand that Al-Qaeda has nothing to do with it. This is an abomination to us. This is an Al-Qaeda is an abomination to all Muslims.
And why don't you people speak out? You know,
because we are at risk, and also because the Christians, they have not denounced the Crusades. The Christians have not denounced the Inquisition. When the Christians denounce Hitler, maybe you will hear more Muslims denounce Al-Qaeda.
Now, I resent. Christians were never in league with Hitler. And
why did Hitler only kill Jews?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Why did Hitler only kill Jews?
I don't know why he only killed Jews, but to say Christians were in league with Hitler, you know...
Well, hold on, gentlemen. I want to give our phone number out, too, if you don't mind.
I think a lot of these guys... I want to get to the point of what I'm trying to say. This guy's on here tonight, a Muslim... And he won't say, "Why will you come out, sir, and say that you hate everything about what happens in the Middle East with these whatever you want to call them, these Muslims?"
Of course, I want to say that I'm very sad for these things that happen.
I don't think that's forceful enough. I want to hear...
What do you want to hear, Mr. Dozier?
I want to hear something angrier or something. I'm not here...
I'm not going to lose my anger. I'm an educated man, as I hope that I understand you're an educator. I'm not going to...
I want to hear you say you hate their living guts.
All right, let me give our number out, and I know that this is emotionally charged, especially for you, Mr. Dozier, being, how do we say this, a natural-born American as opposed to Mr. Fineen, who became an American citizen. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier and Raj Fineen on the question, why is the American Muslim community seemingly not speaking out more forcefully against what is happening in the Middle East in the name of Islam? Is there a cultural difference? I want to put this to you, Mr. Fineen.
This is also true. Perhaps it's more of a tradition in a Muslim home to discuss among ourselves. We discuss at the mosque. We lead by example. We don't make loud proclamations. It is not in Islam to make a spectacle of yourself. Christians make a spectacle of themselves. Yep.
See, that's disrespectful right there. See, right there. See, I caught you. I caught you in being racist. And
I'm not being racist. I'm saying the Christian tradition is to speak. The Christian tradition is to speak more openly.
Christians have a tradition of proselytizing.
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
How come you jump in and explain everything he says. And when I say something, you just...
I'm explaining to him. What are you trying to say?
You're not standing up for me. Now, you're an American the same way I am. You've seen what's going on in the Middle East. The people of this country are getting sick and tired of it. And I want to know from this guy why he ain't saying nothing.
I'm saying to you, sir, if you let me say...
I want to hear a straight answer.
I'm saying to you, sir, if you let me speak...
Okay, I'm letting you speak. I've been letting you speak for 15 minutes, and I'm not hearing anything. I'm hearing a lot of mumbo-jumbo, and all of their...
I think the man is saying, if I could...
Well, there you go again. You're interpreting for him. And
if you see some bias on my part, Mr. Dozier, I don't mean it, all right? I'm simply saying, I believe what the man is saying, is that there may not be a tradition in the Muslim faith to make public proclamation as opposed to them discussing it in their homes and in their mosques, okay?
Yeah, but then he said that Christians were a bunch of, you know, running around showing everybody how great they are.
No, what I said was there is more of a tradition in the Christian faith to speak openly. Okay.
And that's disrespectful.
How's that disrespectful?
Boy, you just can't wait to jump in on the side of this guy who ain't even an American.
Wait. This man was made an American citizen in 1995.
Can I...
Oh, hold on. Mr. Dozier?
What?
Mr. Dozier.
What?
This man's an American citizen like you. We're all in this together, okay?
Yeah.
And he said that there may not be a tradition. And that Christians speak out more. Now, Christians speak out because that's their thing, right?
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't go on TV and lie. You know, this man, Otto Graham...
You mean Otto Graham? Who's Otto?
Are you talking about Billy Graham?
Otto
Graham was a football player with the Cleveland Browns. He was one of the finest quarterbacks the National Football League has ever produced. And for you to tear into him like he's some kind of garbage.
Well, he misspoke, sir. He didn't mean to say Otto Graham. He's saying Billy Graham.
Did you mean Billy Graham?
Yes, this man Graham. He will go on television to say, "Will you please send me money?" You see, and we don't do that. We've got more class.
See? We got more class.
Well, all right, that was a comment that was a little bit of a dig, Mr. Feeney. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I don't see that.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Mary. Mary, you're on the air with Raj Feeney and Vernon Dozier this evening on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm addressing this to the Muslim gentleman. I live in Dearborn. I see an awful lot that is happening, and the Muslims are not speaking out. Every time you ask them, they say, "Oh, yes, everyone has spoken," but they don't.
Well, first, again, we are at risk of retaliation from these extreme elements. This is number one. But number two, we do not have a tradition, as I indicated, of speaking publicly, but we do speak to our families, we speak to our children, and we speak in our mosques, and we speak in our community centers and our schools to say, "This is wrong."
Well,
and I am publicly tonight.
Definitely wrong.
I am publicly tonight to say that this is wrong, but because I don't get on TV like these Christians and wear stupid hairdo and
he said stupid hairdo.
I beg your pardon.
That's what I'm talking.
Well, when you say a stupid hairdo.
Well, I my children and I, we laugh at these TV shows that we see where the man is. These are the Christian shows.
Are you talking about the religious shows?
Yes, sir.
And you say they have stupid hairdos?
Well, yes, they're amusing. Yes.
Well, I find the robe that the women wear as being rather stupid, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear...
Boy, did you get a load of this guy telling me... I happen to watch Ernest Ainsley, who I feel personally interceded in my life by curing me of a neck goiter. I was watching his program, and he does faith healing, Mr. Hendry.
All right, I don't want to get off on these different things. Mr. Feeney, would you agree that it was rather disrespectful to say these stupid hairdos?
No, I don't mean to. No, sir, I'm not saying Christianity is a bad faith. It's a beautiful faith. It's a beautiful faith. But there are people who teach are clowns.
Clowns? Clowns. Did you get that one, Mary?
Yes. Why are you living here?
Are you making note of that, Mary? Because I sure as hell wrote it down.
I am.
I wrote down the word clown.
I love this country very much.
Why do you do the things that you do? You will not speak out. You want all of the benefits that the United States has.
Amen.
You take them, and you don't give anything in return.
Let's let Mr. Finine respond.
First of all, Mary, I am a businessman. I pay taxes. I send my children to the school. I don't know who you're referring to. I'm a very proud American. And
you're trying to have all of your holidays off.
Well, the Christians get their holidays off. The Jewish people get their holidays off.
No, the Christians of various denominations have their own school.
I don't get Ernest Ainsley's birthday off, and he cured me of a neck goiter.
All right. Look, Mary, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Raj Finine and Vernon Dozier. Both gentlemen, American citizens. One, an American Muslim. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. I don't even know that it's applicable to have him discuss matters pertaining to Iraq, although he's an Arab man. The other, Mr. Dozier, an educator. The question on the table, why doesn't the American Muslim community speak out more forcefully against the extremism of so-called Muslims in the Middle East? And I would ask you, and please ask Mr. Dozier, we get it about how Ernest Ainsley cured his neck goiter, but I want to move past that, if you wouldn't mind, Janice. Thanks. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, God's favorite radio show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Joining me tonight is Mr. Raj Finine, an American Muslim businessman, Mr. Vernon Dozier, an educator. We are discussing the question why more American Muslims don't speak out, seemingly don't speak out against the extremism of so-called Muslims. And
Mr. Henry, I wanted to jump in if I could.
Well, let me just set this up, Mr. Dozier, why they seemingly don't speak out against the extremism of so-called Muslim terrorists. What was your question?
I have heard you mention now twice so-called Muslim, and I was going to ask you why I say that.
Because, again, as I said at the outset of the program, I don't know...
If I could, Mr. Dozier, I would like to...
Well, was my answer wrong?
No, I think your answer was very correct. You cannot say that these people in the Middle East that are doing this terrible thing are Muslim, because everything they do is against Islam. There is no difference between Islam and America. There is no difference between Islam and America. These people in the Middle East are not Muslim.
Okay. Is he going to answer, or are you going to answer, Mr. Hendry?
I think the gentleman just gave the answer.
Boy, you just really are on the side of these people, aren't you? Mr. Finine, when are you people, you and your kind, going to recognize that this country is the greatest thing that ever happened to you, and you come over here, and the women are wearing the traditional Muslim clothing wear? When are you people going to blend into this country?
Excuse me, sir, but there's nothing in the laws of this country to say I must blend in with what you think is the best way to dress. This is my traditional, the Jewish people there...
Oh, there you go. See, now he's bringing up Jews. I knew you were going to bring them up.
Well, hold on for a minute. Let him finish.
Thank you. I was going to say the Jewish people, the Hasidim Jews, they wear their traditional religious dress. The Amish people and these people, these Christians on television, they wear the traditional haircut. And
what do you mean traditional haircut? What is that supposed to mean? Hey, do you? I want to know. Is he there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. You want me to answer?
Well, I'd like to know, when you say traditional haircut?
the people on the TV and Stensley and this Otto Graham or Billy Graham have a haircut.
You mean the pompadour that a lot of these Christian preachers wear?
That's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir. Is that not part of your faith?
No, it's not part of our faith. It happens to be the way those men choose to groom themselves.
Look, all we want to is to be left alone. You can shout and cry and pout about what is going on in the Middle East, but what good does it do you? We Muslims go within to find our answers. We go within. Now, you tell me who is better off.
What is that, some kind of... So, in other words, what you're trying to say is you're better than me. Is that...
No, but I am saying we don't scream and shout and jump up and down like you Christians.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. This is Sam. Sam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, I'm a Christian Iraqi man. I born with a Muslim community.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Quran say anybody, that's the Quran, that's his Bible. Anybody.
This is the Bible of Quran, yes. The Quran is
anybody,
the essential word of the prophet, yes.
Okay, anybody.
Okay, look, Sam, hold on. I'm sorry, man. We're up against the break. You hold on. You'll be first out of the gate here. Mr. Raj Fanin.
Wait a second. I want to know why he made that crack about the traditional Christian haircut.
No, I misunderstood. You said that we wear scarves, our women wear scarves. I thought you must wear your hair in a processed pompadour.
No, we don't have to wear our hair in a processed pompadour. See, he's trying to be a smartass.
All right, hold on, gentlemen. 1-800-449-8686. We're back with Raj Fanin and Vernon Dozier on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world.
Hold on, show is back. Raj Fanin and Vernon Dozier with me. Mr. Dozier is an educator. Mr. Fanin, you are with us. You are a Muslim American. I want to ask you, Mr. Dozier, what you were talking to my producer about, because you just threatened me with a lawsuit. Is that it?
Well, no. I said you owe me for one DVD player, and I will, if I have to, use legal recourse to get it. And I will tell you why.
Yeah, please do.
You'd like me to tell you why?
Yes, sir. Why?
Because you have been sticking up for this Muslim man, and you haven't been sticking up for me. I got so angry, I put the phone down when you said that your producer told me that you would be gone for a few minutes on a commercial.
Yes.
I put the phone down, I went over, and I grabbed a brand new DVD player. And I threw it into my pool because you have made me so angry with the biased treatment that you're given. This guy instead of me.
Mr. Dozier.
And I don't need you, Mr. Fanin, telling me how to feel.
I will moderate the show, okay? And I'm not sticking up for him. I am trying to interpret what he is saying.
But you won't interpret what I'm saying, and that I find very suspicious. Okay? He made cracks about... He called Billy Graham Otto Graham, and he thought he was just making... He was making that on purpose.
No, sir, I said Otto Graham because my son is a footballist, plays the football game. And he loves to play the video game. And I saw this name, Otto Graham.
And what is that I hear in the background?
I'm hearing a radio, sir?
Yes, my wife's listening to the news.
Is that Arab?
Yes, it's an Arab channel, yes. Is that against... That's not against the law, is it?
Well, I find that woo-hoo! Boy, do I find that suspicious. Now, what he's doing is he's listening...
All right, hold on for a minute. Let me get back to Sam, who was hanging on through the break, and I appreciate it, Sam. You go ahead and make your comment.
Yeah, I don't want another gentleman to get nervous with this guy. This is a Muslim. You waste his time with him. If you're a Muslim, you got power. This guy, he get American citizen. This guy, if he got power, he destroy United States the second. He don't think about
this
it.
This is wrong, sir. What country are you from?
Listen, I'm Iraqi man. Talk to me, because I know about your religion.
No. This is so wrong to say this to
children. Okay, then I ask one question and answer my question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Quran, he say, your Bible, your Quran, he say.
Now, this is a good man here. I want to hear what...
All right, let the man say what he said.
Okay. Yeah, well, he's going to straighten this whole thing out.
Don't get nervous.
No, but could I say one thing, sir, to tell the other gentleman to shut his mouth?
You're telling me to shut my mouth? Did he just tell me to shut my mouth?
All right, hold on, everybody. Yes, Sam? Yes, yes.
Give me the chance.
Okay.
I talked to him.
Let me say one thing, though, to Mr. Finney. Don't tell people to shut up.
Okay. I said to this man to shut his mouth. I want to speak to this man, Sam, but this man, Mr. Dozier,
hold on.
Shut his mouth.
Sir,
you're telling...
Woo-hoo!
He just told me to shut up.
Sam, go ahead.
Sir, because this his religion, the Quran, he believe, kill. That's where it is. Let me ask him one question.
Well,
The Quran, he say.
In the Bible,
anybody not Muslim must be go to the hell. I'm wrong or right?
Yes,
just tell me this part.
Yes, you're right. Yes, but if you will allow me to say.
Listen, yes, I'm wrong or right?
You are right.
I'm sorry to God. You get nervous because you don't work nothing.
Yeah, Sam just got you and you don't like it.
No, I but swear. Sam will not listen to what I
think. You know, because
the Bible says...
What do you mean you are just...
How do you like this guy telling me how to live my life?
Listen, give me the chance.
Wait a minute.
Your education person.
No, you don't know that...
Listen, if I give you the power now,
nothing about Islam
can you answer my question?
You are a traitor to our religion.
He just called him a traitor, and he told me to shut up.
Listen,
I want you to shut your mouth to listen to what I'm saying.
Okay,
Number one, the Bible says eye for eye. But Christians say you must love man that smite you on face. Does Christian not say this? And yet the Bible say, you must take eye to eye. Because the Quran, like the Bible, is the story of God changing his covenant with...
Well, now, will you listen to this Muslim changing his mind just so he can make things...
Sir,
man, I'm loving this now.
All right, Sam, you made a very good point.
I got to move on.
1-800-449-8686.
No. That guy, Sam, pins you down. He pins you down.
Well, wait a second. Sam asked the question, doesn't the Quran say that you're a devil? And you said yes, but the Bible also says...
The Bible also has seemingly contradictory statements in it. Because it is the story, really, of God changing his covenant with man. As in the Quran, this is the story of God evolving. Allah and his relationship to the Prophet. Now, you must say that this man, Sam... Who says that...
Wait, hold on, just a minute. You're changing everything. Sam had you pinned to the floor, and now you...
Would you please shut your mouth, sir? Shut your mouth to let me say.
Well, now that guy told me to shut my mouth.
Wow!
Well, why don't you stick up for me? Don't you be telling me about the Bible, either.
Let me go over to Gwen. Gwen, go ahead.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy.
You're crazy. What you just did, you're crazy, yes.
Gwen, go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Yes,
I just want to make a few comments, and I'd like to not get interrupted if I may.
Go ahead, Gwen.
And
does that mean I'm not allowed to say anything?
Well, I would just like to make a few comments, and then I don't want to be interrupted.
But what if you're not interested? What if you're not interested?
Well, then you can answer my questions. But what I want to say is, first of all, I feel like I'm listening to a bunch of 10-year-olds on this program.
Amen.
Mr. Dozier,
what's that supposed to mean?
I would like to know what you said. Mr. Dozier is a teacher.
Yes, ma'am. I'm a
high
school teacher.
What grade do you teach?
I teach varsity football. I also am a junior and senior mathematics instructor. I teach calculus and as well as advanced trigonometry.
Well, that's fantastic. Teachers are number one in my book, but I would be very, very leery to be in one of your students because I feel that your interpretation of this. First of all, you guys are getting way off on the Bible and the Quran. It just depends on how you interpret the Bible and the Quran. And you're going around in circles. Everybody has a different way of interpreting that what they read. And you're going around in circles with that.
You're sticking up for the Muslim.
All right. And actually,
how are you judging me? Listen,
no,
why don't,
I'm not
you, why don't you shut your mouth
and
let the lady speak?
Don't call me sweetie.
Look at sweetie. Well, I didn't call you sweetie, but how dare you judge me?
Really?
Because I didn't. If I called you sweetie, then I must be out of my mind because you're just making me angry right now.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Dozier.
Why don't you shut your mouth and let the lady speak? You say that you're telling me to shut up again.
Mr. Dozier.
Go ahead.
You are a very close-minded person. Number one, you are saying things that are very, very provocative. Like,
right.
This Muslim person, you people. Now, that gentleman doesn't have anything to do with what's happening. He has just as much right to be in this country as anybody else does. That's what makes our country so wonderful. That's what makes me proud to be an American.
That's
because
right.
of the diversity and the different people and the eclectic different people in this country.
I moved to California from another state. And I got another American backing up this guy. I got a $150 DVD player sitting at the bottom of my pool.
Sweetheart again, and I'd appreciate it if you did not call me sweetheart.
Muslim man treats a woman much better than American man. You, it's such a mouth, let her. Don't you tell me to shut my mouth.
You know what? You guys are having a conversation with yourself.
Right, yeah. Gwen, go ahead.
And you know what? I am not sticking up for anybody. I am just stating a few facts that I believe are true.
You just called
her toots. Now, I am not a kid. I'm 50 years old, and I'm not a child, and I'm educated. I have a college education, and I don't like what's going on in this country right now either.
Look, honey, everything.
What do you expect this gentleman to do? He's already told you that he's teaching
his
children.
That's right. He's teaching his children. He's doing it in his community. And
he's doing it in his community.
Yeah, he's doing it in his community.
I mean, really, what do you expect him to do?
Look, Toots, every time this guy...
Okay, did you just hear him call me Toots now? Now he's called me Sweetie, Honey, and Toots.
So I'm being friendly. Oh, now there's a law against that. Nothing I say is right, and everything he says is wrong, and I'm getting real tired of that.
You know what your problem is? You have less respect for a woman than a Muslim man does.
Why, you...
You know, Mr. Dozier, you need to get a handle.
Why is everyone picking on me?
Because, Mr. Dozier, you are out of control. That's why everybody's picking on you. You throw your CD player in the pool.
No,
you
dash
the phone
that's
against
Henry's
the
fault.
Table.
That's Mr.
Or whatever. Whatever it was, how old are you? Are you a child or are you an adult? If you're an adult, then you should have an adult conversation with this gentleman.
Gwen, could I say to you, I would honor you. A Muslim man, and this Christian man is a pig, and he should shut up.
Why, you calling me a pig? Telling me to shut up? The day I let a towel wrapper come...
Aha! So there it is. There it comes out. Towel wrapper.
There you go. There you go.
Towel wrapper.
Well, you pushed me into it, and you owe me for a DVD player.
That is so funny to me. I can't even believe. I just think it's hilarious.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about this towel hip? Do you hear that? He's listening to the radio in Arab talk.
But my wife
is
listening to broadcasts from Egypt.
You know what?
We do this every night.
That is the language that he speaks. Don't you think he wants? Don't you think that he wants to know what's happening in his homeland?
How do you know he's not getting some kind of message from over there? Some kind of shortwave message from Bin Laden to say, okay, when I say go, you go.
Yeah, Bin Laden is sending him particularly a message out of all the millions of Muslims that are in this country.
Let me ask you something, Gwen. You must be Islam. What's your name? Sinjay or however that...
You know what? To tell you the truth.
He's probably waiting for the code word, which is something probably like salam or some crap. Then he's going to go down to the utility station where the electrical power for an entire grid is powered and blow it to hell.
This man is very sick. This is a sick man.
You know what, Mr. Dozier?
Okay, I have to end this. I want to thank you very much, Gwen, for your call and your participation, but I do have to end this.
I'm going
to
ask you right now to turn that pig Latin off.
No, I will not. I'm listening to the news.
I'm going to say it one more time. Turn it off.
No, I won't. I'm listening to the news. This is how I listen to the news.
Oh, I can't stand listening to that pig Latin. Turn it off.
Shut up.
He told me to shut...
Hey, Billy, John, Raghead told me to shut up. Get in the trucks.
What does that mean?
I'm done.
Bella. So there we are, reaching out to the community, trying to make things better, and I just made it worse. Turn. Guys, listen to the news. Thank you for participating in our roundtable tonight. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, by the way, congratulations to the Lakers. I know it was the talk of this town. Derek Fisher's shot, the turnaround jumper that was sunk with, what was it, four tenths of a second. I didn't see the game. Why? Because we work in the evening hours. And I have said that the Lakers won't get out of the Western Conference, and I still believe that. But let me just say this, you know, credit is due where credit is due, and that was a phenomenal bit of shooting on the part of Derek Fisher. Probably very lucky, but nonetheless, the San Antonio Spurs protested it, and the NBA told them to take that and go smoke it, you know, because they ain't listening to that. Later for that. In any event, hell of a ball game last night. Lakers came from behind. Actually, the Lakers blew. This is the reason why I say I don't think they're going to get out of the Western Conference. They blew a 17-point lead. They blew a 17-point lead and then had to make a turnaround jump shot, you know, this kind of whatever the hell it was. I mean, there was a series back in the 70s between the Suns and the Celtics. It went into triple overtime. It was the most amazing freaking game I've ever seen. Occasionally they have it on ESPN Classic, but it was similar in that, and this was a triple OT game at the Garden in Boston, back when the Suns had like the Van Arsdale brothers, and Gar Hurd makes a fallaway jumper with like no time on the clock on an inbound pass for the Suns. Boom, sinks it. They go into OT. Then I think they went into another OT on some phenomenal shot by Havlicek. Then I think they went into another OT on some other, and the Celtics wound up winning it. And in that game was insane. In the game, Richie Powers, one of the refs, was attacked by a fan who came onto the floor and started punching Richie Powers. And I know there's people out there who remember this, the old-timers. And I remember Mendy Rudolph, one of the old NBA refs, was now doing color commentary. And he goes, that's a tragedy. That's a shame to attack a referee like that. They should never do that. And he's going nuts. And it was one hell of a ball game. But that shot by Hurd and then Derek Fisher's shot last night reminded me of when Gar Hurd hit that shot. But the reason why I say they won't get out of the Western Conference is to blow a lead like that. And then to have to win the game on what's essentially a lucky shot. And it's not lucky. I shouldn't say that. There's an element of, obviously, as they say, luck is the intersection of opportunity and preparation. Derek Fisher was prepared for that moment. I don't doubt that for a second. But it took one hell of an effort, man, to keep the Lakers from losing a basketball game that they should have thoroughly had in hand. Now, you can get excited about the game, and they might even beat the Spurs in the series. But if the Kings do what I think they're going to do against Minnesota, but what do I know, man? I'm a hockey fan, not. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, President Bush's approval rating is going into the toilet. And that's on account of the fact that everything over in Iraq looks like it's going into the toilet, which in point of fact it isn't. And when people stop panicking about this Iraq prison abuse thing, and I'm telling you, as the days get on and we keep looking at the lack of proof of some of the more extreme charges, this thing is going to turn into one of these situations where maybe a few soldiers got way out of hand because the CIA came out of the woodwork, told them to soften some people up, and then the CIA went back into the woodwork. Do you understand that this is what happened? That the spooks, as the guy said, took over the prison, told these grunts to do all this junk, or not grunts, but these dog faces to do all this crap, and then the CIA just slithered away, man. And they left all these cats to mop up the mess. That's the way it goes. I bet you they got what they wanted out of them, too. I'll bet you anything. And by the way, if you're all upset about the way these prisoners are being abused, Don't even worry about it. That's how they're treating Saddam Hussein right now. Anybody want to make a complaint about that? Right now, Saddam's got underwear on his head. And the cats that are interrogating him are laughing their asses off about this crap going on in the prison in Baghdad. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.